It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think we all realize that as New Yorkers, we're a very irritable bunch. We get very angry. When we get angry, we boo a lot. Ask Daniel Jones. He got booed 30 seconds into the Giant game over the weekend. So I put a poll out this morning. Which fan base will be more pissed off if they lose on Sunday, Jet fans or Giant fans? What do you think, T?
Definitely Jets.
Definitely
Jets
fans?
Not even a contest.
Yeah, it was a blowout. 80% yeah. Jet fans will be pissed off. Is that because you think Giant fans have accepted that they're not good?
Well, I think they're not expecting the depths of a successful season like the Giants are. There's still so many... Now question marks after week one. I think the Giants were Giant fans were optimistic about this season, and then after week one, it just looked so bad that their thought process about it is waning a little bit. But the Jets, despite losing to a good San Francisco 49ers team, still believes that this team is going to be really good. So I think it's just a matter of how they lost and who they lost to in week one.
Yeah, I think that, because I asked you this the other day, like, who needs this game more, the Jets or Giants? What's your answer to that, Bob?
I mean, I think the Giants need it
more. Right.
There's no doubt about it.
The Giants need it more because while losing to Tennessee, and we'll go much deeper into this game and what the Titans, because they made so many changes from a year ago.
Yeah.
They're a very different team.
Yeah.
But if they somehow lost to Tennessee, there's no doubt I'll be angry on Monday. There's no doubt Jet fans will be angry and pissed off. But I think there's still a way where you'd say, all right, we haven't played a home game yet.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Pats and the Broncos and the Vikings coming up. Like, there's a decent chance that you will still turn your season around. I mean, they started 0-2 in 1998 as well. Like, it's happened before where they've turned seasons around. Well, I think with the Giants, if they lose on Sunday to the Commanders, especially when you look at what's coming up, they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, the more people will join Sean in saying we're better off losing because we suck. So, from that standpoint, I agree that on the surface on a Friday afternoon, it's easy to say the Jets. I think the anger, and hopefully we don't get challenged by this because I hope that we're not looking at Jet and Giant losses. I think the Giant fan will call up this radio station more angry than the Jet fan because they're going to know their season's dead.
Yeah, well, I think they'll call up more accepting to maybe a little bit of what Sean's saying. I don't think anybody's ready to tank yet, but I think they'll be more like, okay, God, all right, we just got to get another whatever quarterback. We got to get this situation solved. I think it's they're more on the verge of accepting not having a good season, whereas the Jet fan is not going to accept that this season is bad until it really goes bad. And losing, I think, to the Titans might do that in a sense. So I think that's why they'll be more upset.
Let's go to Mike in Garden City. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, boys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What's up, man?
Thank you, Mike.
Want to talk, like, I'm sure you boys know this, but out of the 15 games remaining, you know, five of the games are 0-1 teams, including the Jets and Giants, and then you got five other games are 1-0 teams against each other. Let me ask you this. I grew up a big Colts fan, had my years of agony over the years, and let me just say, like, in 2013, they have not won a season opener, and they've made the playoffs four or five times, and that's with, like, mediocre teams. But
Mike, you cut out on us.
Go ahead. No, I think we lost him.
Yeah.
He was going to ask, because it was actually a very interesting question, which teams need to avoid an 0-2 start more than others? Hmm. And it's a great, great question, and it's similar to what we're talking about with the local teams where, again, as pissed as we'll be to watch the Jets start 0-2, it will be much easier to roadmap how they're going to turn their season around and explain maybe why they're struggling. If the Giants lose to a team that they've had success against, that Daniel Jones had success against, and you know that the Dallas Cowboys are looming 2 weeks away, and even the Philadelphia Eagles, two games with them, are looming, and you're 0-2 after losing games to Minnesota and Washington, I think the combination of the talent, who you lost to, and the schedule would lead towards the Giants being in a much worse position at 0-2 than even the Jets.
Well, yeah, he's right about the Giants and the Jets, but I felt like he was talking more around the league.
Yes, and I have an answer for that, too. Do you have one on the 0-2 start?
100%.
Go ahead.
He was beginning to talk about Indy, but I think Indy is still, I mean, look, their cornerback room and their safety room, only because I did their game, I know this. It's very, very young. They lose Juju Brents, who was a starting corner for the season already, so they get even younger and thinner. And so there's some challenges from a roster standpoint, and Chris Ballard is on the hot seat up there in Indianapolis from the fan base. So he was talking about Indy, but I think the team that just jumps off the page for me is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
If the Bengals start 0-2, and obviously they lost to the Patriots in week one, and now they have the Chiefs, which maybe almost is automatically 0-2 for them. And then they have the Commanders. So I think it's more 0-3 for the Bengals. That's where you start panicking because they've been 0-2 before and actually done okay.
That's why, I thought about them. Because you were saying, I thought about the Bengals at 0-2, but after they play Washington, they play Carolina.
Yeah.
So
there's two games that they should win.
Yeah.
So even if they go 0-2, you almost feel like they're 2-2.
Right.
Without having played, those two games.
It's sort of similar, not fully, to the Jets situation where you can be 0-2 and you look at your schedule. I know you don't want to get nuts about who you're playing because, as the Bengals proved in week one, they lost to a Patriot team that everybody thought was going to suck. And we heard Jerod Mayo admit something today that's odd, that Drake May is getting more reps in practice than any backup quarterback usually gets. They're basically prepping to make that change.
You can see that coming. You know that at some point Drake May is going to get some snaps.
No question. If the Patriots get off to a good start, they'll be facing what you guys faced, where they're in a race and they're like, we're making the quarterback change. We're going from the veteran who's playing well to the young guy, the prize prospect. But I slightly disagree about Cincinnati because who they play, I'll give you a team I'd worry about very sneakily.
Who's that?
I don't want to. And this is near and dear to you. You want to know why?
Because it's the team I'm calling.
Because you're in their building right now.
That's right.
The Baltimore Ravens, and I do not expect them to lose in Baltimore against the Raiders, but after they play the Raiders, if they're 0-2, Dallas on the road, Buffalo on a Sunday night at home, at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's a tricky spot.
Yeah.
The Ravens could, even though no one's worried based on what happened in week one. And again, I think you're going to call a blowout, Tiki, which makes me think you're going to say a lot of dirty things in the fourth quarter of this game. So I think the Ravens are going to be okay. But when you look at their schedule, sneaky tough.
Yeah, the schedule is what we're judging this off. Even though, let's be honest, I have no idea what a lot of these teams are really all about yet because it's too early. Right, teams that had the Saints, for instance, with the new coordinator and Clint Kubiak, and destroyed the Carolina Panthers. But it's the Carolina Panthers,
right?
You know what I mean?
That point is good, especially around the Giants, because they play Washington this week.
Mm-hmm.
They play Cleveland the following week. The Cleveland Browns are the perfect example of a team where we're not sure what they are. If they get blown out again, this time to Jacksonville, they got annihilated by the Cowboys week one.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Giant fans may look at week three and say, well, we better win that game. Look at their quarterback situation.
Yeah. No, and I think you're right. It's like if a team is in turmoil, don't feel sorry for them. Just take advantage of it. that's what you got to do.
Ozzie,
just the reality of it.
You're right. Ozzie and Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Break the glass, please.
We have break.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Breaking news, is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
All right, break the glass. Lugie's not happy with you. He doesn't like having a caller, even of your...
Don't tell me what to do.
No. We're not breaking the glass, Ozzie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll make it a call, because that's a disservice to the listeners when it's not real breaking news.
Well, maybe it is breaking news. Maybe he has breaking news.
No, he doesn't.
Maybe he's in the gym with, a famous athlete, and that famous athlete told him a secret.
Give us the news first, and then we will break it based on the news if it's worthy.
I think that's fair. If you broke news that's worthy, Lugie would then go back and break our breaking news glass.
Why is Jazz Chisholm getting involved in my business? He's dead to me, John Morash. Stay out of it.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
You I don't
jazz?
You want to explain that one to me?
Look at his goatee. Looks like he has Jazz Chisholm running down the
court. I mean, come on. That's the breaking news you attempted, lowbrow humor?
No, I'm trying to get to the breaking news, but he interrupted me.
Oh, sorry. Go get to the breaking news.
Breaking news is no adolescent nonsense from me today, but Sean ruined it, so I guess it's not breaking news anymore. I got a couple thoughts on this Tua situation.
Yeah.
Number one, the jarring and the scary nature of the immediate symptoms that we see is very reminiscent to me of Eric Lindros when he used to be out like a light before he hit the ice.
Right.
It was like scary to see. And forget about the numerous times they were both susceptible to concussion, which you get more and more susceptible after each one.
Right.
And then the feeling I get when I'm watching Tua for the last 2 years is the same feeling, and it's not a good feeling when you're watching sports, because these are men and human beings out there. When the Shanahan father and son team kept throwing RG3 out there when he was on compromised leg, and you knew that with every play, this could be this guy's last play, and it wasn't going to be pretty.
It's interesting. No, I mean, it's interesting because I think if Tua plays again, I'd have that exact feeling.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I don't want to say I have already, but like for the last year or so, every time he'd get hit, hit hard, in my mind I'm like, don't get concussed, like protect yourself. And watching the play last night, he had already picked up the first down. And why he needed to be tough, maybe he was trying to prove it to himself, like I can take a hit type of thing. But it just, as soon as it happens, you just get a sinking feeling because you know exactly what it is. And his body reacts the same way. He's completely out of it. And, you know, Ozzie's right. You just get scared for a young kid. He's 26 years old. He's had 3 concussions. And, you know, even though people don't want to always admit it, this is a threat to his career, period.
Sure, no doubt. I'm going to offer a true compliment of a man that I really don't like from a sports standpoint. Obviously, as a human being, I'm sure he's wonderful. And that's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe this from listening to him. As much as I've, you know, given him crap that he's kind of a phony and he plays the shtick and all that.
Yeah, it's intentional shtick, but I kind of like it.
But that's fair. I hate it. But I watched him this morning. I think it was this morning, talking about Tua and his career. And I felt something from Mike McDaniel I don't actually get from a lot of head coaches. And that is he was genuine and genuinely concerned about his player and genuinely putting his interest before the team. And I don't want to name names, but there's a lot of head coaches where I don't get that vibe from. I get it as, I just want to win. Screw you. You're a body. You're not even a human in my mind. I just want you to win. And Mike McDaniel kind of gave the impression, and I believe him, I am choosing not to think he's a phony, that he doesn't even care about him coming. He wants the guy and the man to be okay. And that's a head coach that's going to put the interests of the player well ahead the interests of the team. Because clearly the team needs him.
Yeah,
Mike McDaniel's career may need him. But I really get the vibe that he's not even going to think about that.
No, I think you're right. If and when Tua is ready and wants to come back and play, it's gonna be on them, Tua. And it's going to be a lot of advice from a lot of different people before he's cleared to play. Like, I feel like so many people wanted to rush him back. You just listen to some of the rhetoric around this. It's and from a fan base and from pundit stand pace. It's like they want him back really quickly. I don't want him back quickly.
Right.
If at all.
Yeah, I think fans want him back because he's very good.
Yeah.
Because the Dolphins are a legitimate playoff threat when he's out there. And without him, we're looking at Skylar Thompson. We're potentially trading for Zach Wilson, as I suggested. Even though Tiki's now starting to scare me. That Mike McDaniel would somehow wave a magic wand around Zach Wilson, and he'd become a Dolphin legend. If Zach Wilson led the Miami Dolphins to a division title, that would be Chad Pennington on steroids.
Yeah.
Far worse.
I didn't even think about it. I kind of forgot about that connection. Former Jets in Miami.
Oh, God. And when Chad went to Miami, I understood it. Like, we made the decision of that. Brett Favre's here. Chad's coming off an injury. What does he have left? Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, Chad stuck it where the sun don't shine. Let's go to Nico in Brooklyn. How you doing, Nico?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. Afternoon. Hope all is well.
All's great.
Good. Happy to hear that. Kiki, huge fan. Thank you, man. I think you had a legendary career, so I just want to commend you for that.
I appreciate you.
I need your help.
Go ahead.
Big time. Okay, so last week, watching the game with a few of my friends, and quickly as the game got out of hand, we started talking about, you know, greater times, you know, in the past with the Giants, and, you know, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And I mentioned something that really, I think, touched a nerve with quite a few of my friends and led to a very heated, ugly debate.
Go ahead.
And I figured the best person to ask would be you, that you could put, like, a final decision in this and what your thoughts were on it, because obviously I think no one else would have a better opinion than you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. I made a comment last Sunday to my buds, and I said, guys, I think Kerry Collins threw a better spiral and a better ball than Eli. And they went nuts. And they're like, what are you talking about? What are you smoking? And I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I'm not saying who the better quarterback is, because respectfully, I think everyone knows who that is.
It's Eli.
But I, But I said Kerry threw more of a tighter, harder spiral than Eli at times. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
That's not even within, that shouldn't be questionable. I'm surprised your fans were pushing back on you.
Clearly, Kerry.
It was clearly Kerry. Eli was great at what he did. And obviously he was a fantastic leader and a two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP. We know his statistics. But a lot of what he his strength was accuracy. Right, it was getting it where it needed. We saw the plays to, you know, Mario Manningham, Plaxico Burress. Like, we've seen them all, right? We know that he could put it exactly where he wanted to put it. But if you're talking about, like, velocity and like, tension on the ball as it's spinning, that was Kerry Collins. KC had a cannon. And it's funny because he came up to me. It came up in this conversation I was having the other day, talking football. Obviously, the conversation I was talking about with Matt Ryan, how Kerry Collins had this like slow release, and it came up because Daniel Jones sometimes his release is really slow, and you can get away with it when you got a howitzer on your arm, but if you don't or you're indecisive, the balls are incomplete. It gives the linebacker a chance to break it up. Kerry Collins had a cannon, and it was a beautiful ball. Sometimes hard to catch, but it was a beautiful ball.
I was going to ask you that. So, right. And obviously, I never came close to playing in the NFL. In fact, I never even came close to playing Pee Wee. I mean, I've got the hands of stone. But I told you the story that years ago, Boomer Esiason threw a football in the newsroom, and it felt like it broke my hands.
Yep.
Now, I do not have the hands of a wide receiver, nor do I have the hands of you. You caught many a football over the years. But it doesn't feel easier to catch a ball that's coming at me a million miles an hour.
So it's no different than, I'm trying to think of something similar. It's like catching a baseball or catching anything. Most people, when they want to catch a football, they want to be stiff. They think they need to be stiff. But it's the pliability. Think about a shock on a car. Right, it's why you don't feel all the bumps. Like, you feel a little bit of the bumps, but you don't feel them like you should, because there's like give. When you're catching a ball, you have to give. There has to be give. And the more you do it, and especially as you get through college and the NFL, it becomes second nature. Like, that little give becomes second nature. And people who have brick hands, like we talk about this all the time, like some linebackers have brick hands, it's because they don't do the give. Like, the give is what gives, like, takes the velocity off the ball. And it's all timing. It's hand-eye coordination. So it just becomes second nature after a while.
I think the reason why our last caller's friends argued with him about Kerry versus Eli Manning in terms of throwing a better spiral or a deep ball is that we can't separate attributes of a player from the actual player.
Yeah.
Like, of course, Eli Manning is going to end up in the Hall of Fame eventually.
He was the better player.
Of course. I don't think anyone's questioning that. No one's arguing that. But sometimes we can't separate that someone who isn't as good as someone else is better than that person at a certain attribute. That's what happened. His friends were like, you idiot! It's Eli, schmuck!
I was trying to think of this quarterback, Ron Jaworski. We used to do this hit with me and BT when we were on the morning, and so it was a draft.
You were on in the mornings?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah. We
Did were you nine, hate that? Like, waking up has to be terrible.
Well, it was just hard because I had to leave at like 6 in the morning. I hated it. And so, Ron was on. It was the quarterback that the quarterback class, even though he didn't end up playing quarterback, that Logan Thomas was in. Remember him?
Yes.
Tight end.
Yeah.
He's in. He was in Washington, but he was a Virginia Tech quarterback. And so we were asking him, like, who has the best arm? And he was like, Logan Thomas has. He recorded the fastest whatever velocity on a pass. Of any of the prospects. So he has this like cannon. And so, was he a good quarterback? Of course not. He didn't even play quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
But if you were looking at the statistics of who throws the hardest pass or the prettiest ball, it probably would have been Logan Thomas.
Yeah.
Even though he's not even a good quarterback. So That's your funny. Point is well taken.
Let's go to Ike calling from Brooklyn. How you doing, Ike?
Hi, Evan. Hi, Zeke. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up?
So, big Dolphin fan. So, I'm listening to you guys. But I think some of the things you've said are just false based on a medical expert that I heard earlier today. And I'll go through a few of the things. First of all, he said that no two concussions are the same. So the severity of one could be minor to the other. And he said that trance that you saw Tua take just like 2 years ago, that is no indication of the severity of a concussion. Has absolutely no indication of severity. And the ultimately, this comes down to the optics. You know, we all look at it.
100%.
The medical expert said, right. So the medical expert said, you know, we have players in the NFL that have had far more concussions than Tua. Mitch Morse, the center of the Bills, the ex-center of the Bills, he's on another team now. And Pat Freiermuth, the tight end of the Steelers, they've had like six. And nobody even mentions
but
them.
But you know what, so, Ike? You actually hit on it, though, with the optics of it. And they matter. We had a caller earlier say, do you think the NFL will conspire to make sure Tua doesn't play because it's just a bad look for him to play? I don't know if the NFL is going to conspire, but I don't think the NFL would want Tua to be out there after what we've seen.
Well, I think the last caller was misconstruing what we're saying. I'm not saying the NFL is going to do anything. I don't care about the severity of a concussion. All I know is that Tua has had three concussions in 3 years, and they look bad optically.
Exactly.
They look bad. So I'm questioning whether Tua himself, forget what anybody else is going to say, is saying it's worth it. Is it worth it for Tua Tagovailoa to keep playing football and to keep getting concussions? Because he's going to get another one. It's fact. You talk about offensive linemen getting more concussions, of course, but those are micro concussions. I mean, they bang heads 50 times a game, 60 times a game. It just that is what it is. But the severity of the concussion, you can't tell me it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Like,
if you have a little bit of dizziness or motion sickness or vertigo or whatever it may be from repeatedly getting banged in the head versus being unconscious because you made contact with your head, it's two completely different things.
What a freaking weekend. The Jets and Giants, week two of the NFL season, 1 o'clock. The New York Yankees continuing their four-game series against the Red Sox. They now have back-to-back walk-offs. And the New York Mets beginning a three-game series down in Philadelphia. First of all, to my fellow Met fans, I did my research. I did research on two very important things, Tiki. All right? Research number one. I calculated what I think the Mets are going to need to do to make the postseason because I also calculated what I think Arizona, San Diego, and Atlanta is going to do.
Yes.
Okay? I did my research on that. But here's the other thing I did my research on, going to Philadelphia. Because the Mets are in Philadelphia, the Met fan has traditionally made that trip down Interstate 95 to go invade that ballpark, but things are very, very different. And so for those who are listening to us right now, whether it's on 660, whether it's on the Odyssey app, maybe FM is carrying you down I-95, I hope you have a great time. But my research shows me, Tiki, that the prices to get into Mets-Phillies this weekend in Philly, whoa.
Bad. Whoa. Heavy.
Heavy. Mm. And I think they're heavy because the Phillies, coming off a year in which they had great success, of course, until the NLCS when they blew a lead, and of course, the year before that having great success, the Phillies are like the ticket in town. Yeah. And so like I always say with ticket sales and whatnot, it's usually the year after or the 2 years after. But if you want to go to Mets-Phillies this weekend, to even sit in like a decent seat, you're looking at $150 a ticket.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Yeah.
But I guess the Philly fan is feeling it right now.
The Philly fan is feeling it. And to show you how strong the Philly fan is, next weekend the Phillies come up here to Citi Field. Mm-hmm. The prices for that game is through the roof.
Oh, so they're coming to invade.
I think so. I do think Met fans are excited, Teague. So I do think there's a combination of that. But
what have been the home crowds over the last couple for the Mets?
Well, the last time they were home, the crowds were not very good against Cincinnati, mid 20s,
right?
20, yeah,
20 something thousand.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, like 26,000 people. It was not great. But I think this is different. The final home stand of the year.
Yeah, you know, 28,000. I have the last one.
Well, that's what that's basically what I meant.
Right.
I apologize.
That's all good. I'm just getting specific.
Thank you. I knew it started with a two.
And so, were there going to be 10,000 more fans in the stadium?
I'm not sure about early in the week against Washington, but definitely the weekend against the Philadelphia.
That's
Phillies.
What I mean for the yeah. Phillies.
Like I've always loved going to Philadelphia because I do like Citizens Bank Park. I think it's a beautiful baseball stadium. And in the past, like getting into that ballpark has not been very expensive. It's very different. So if you are a Met fan thinking, maybe you're not doing it tonight on a Friday night, but you're thinking about Saturday, 4:10 first pitch, go do it, man. I'm jealous of you. I'd love to do it. But the prices are freaking nuts.
Yeah.
So for anyone going down there, man, invade and show your pride. But I don't expect there to be like a heavy contingent of Met fans only because it's just so difficult to get in.
I'm trying to think. What was the number for the 76ers when we encouraged everybody to go down?
Far different, though. Let me just say what's different about that.
But what was it? I don't think.
What was what?
What was the number? I think it was less than this.
The number of what? Oh, to get in price?
Yeah.
Yeah, the price. Well, it's also a much smaller stadium, so we have to keep that in mind. It's an arena. But right. Yeah, I think the get in price for Knicks Sixers, you could get in for like $90, $100.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was easy decision to
make.
But
you know what the difference is? I think the city of Philadelphia, not to get into their business, but it's true, they hate their Sixers. They don't believe in their Sixers.
True.
They believe in this Philadelphia Phillies team.
Of course.
And I want to be honest about what's in store for the New York Mets. The Phillies got mediocre for a while, but they've won 8 out of their last 10. They've played very good baseball. They're kind of clicking at the right time. And this is not a loser mentality. This is just me being honest with you. I think if the Mets can win a game in Philadelphia over the weekend, and they can somehow get a split of the four games against the Phillies next weekend at Citi Field, that would be a 3-4 record over these 7 games against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I think I'd be okay with it.
Well, I mean, you would be because when you think about the team they're directly competing against, even though the Padres and the Diamondbacks are only 2 games ahead of them, wild card standing-wise, the Dodgers are taking on the Braves. Now, it's in Atlanta. But you got to believe that the Dodgers are going to do a little bit of number on that adversary.
They better.
And so it just makes it more, we don't have to win against Philly, or we have to win against Philly. It's less urgent given the matchup that the Braves have.
So you're right. And here's the way I calculated this without getting too much into the weeds. I believe the Mets have to go 10-6. I say that based on the calculations I've made because I believe the Braves are going to annihilate the Reds and Marlins. They play 6 games against them. I think they'll go 5-1 against them. I assume they'll win that final series of the year against Kansas City, and that leaves these 4 with LA and the 3 against the Mets.
Yeah, but you didn't look at San Diego. That's what I did this week.
I did them too. You want me to jump to them? Because yes, I'm starting with the Braves.
Because I honestly think the Braves are the Braves, and they're just osmosis, big organizational history.
Right.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
The Padres don't have that. In fact, they actually have the opposite kind of history. Even when they tried to go for it and spent money in their offseason, they'd always found ways to peter out when it mattered. But now, right, they're still hanging around with 16 games to go. But they have a tough road ahead.
Yeah, so they have – I did the math on them, and I will give you the same answer. The Mets still have to go 10-6 because my calculations on San Diego is they have 15 games left, 3 against the Giants, 3 against the Astros, very tough, 3 against the White Sox. Like that didn't even count, as we know as Met fans.
But they just lost to the Mariners.
That's true. Well, the Mariners are not the White Sox.
True.
3 against the Dodgers and 3 against Arizona, and I'm being conservative and thinking thinking San Diego could go 8-7 in those 15 games. And if they go 8-7 in those 15 games, for the Mets to make up the game and a half they're behind them, it gets back to 10-6.
Yeah.
It gets back to that same number. Arizona's far different. I don't think they're going to struggle, though they do have 7 games with the first-place Milwaukee Brewers. So my calculations, and listen, they're flawed, obviously. It's baseball. You're trying to predict what the hell teams are going to do. But that is a very popular question right now amongst Mets fans. Hey, what do they need to do win-wise that's going to get them in? And instead of just flippantly giving you a number, after analyzing what I think San Diego does, what I think Atlanta does, they've got to win the series against the Braves, and I think the 10-6 is that sweet spot, and they can get there by going 3-4 against the Phillies. It means they've got to annihilate the Nationals, they've got to win the series against Atlanta, and they got to win a series against a Brewer team that's likely going to have nothing to play for. And if you do all of that, 10-6. And I think that's good enough to make the playoffs.
All right. We'll hold you to it.
Do you buy that positive, Tommy? Or can they go 6-10 and still make the playoffs? Because the positive positivity will lead the Braves to going, 3-14.
Well, as you know, positive Tommy doesn't do math. What I would say is this. Normally I address the Met fans as positive Tommy, but my message today is to the city of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Those footsteps you hear, it's the Mets.
No, don't do that.
That's it.
We're 8 games out, bro.
The footsteps you hear, it's the Mets.
No, it's not the Mets. They're 8 games out.
They have 7 games with the Phillies,
correct? Think they're going to win all 7? I just said I'd take 3-4.
Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum. Those footsteps, it's the Mets.
Come on, man.
It's the Mets.
So the NL East is not over.
The NL East is not over. No.
You're nuts.
Yeah, the East is done.
Yeah, no kidding.
Stop. What are you talking about?
And think about it. If the Mets went 5-2 in these 7 games, I think we'd all be ecstatic. We'd all be like, oh, my God, that's amazing. And that
still wouldn't be close enough.
Exactly. They'd still be 5 games out. It's not about the Phillies. I mean, the only way it's about the Phillies is that they stand in the way. Like, the Mets have to beat them, and they've got to find a way in these last 16 games. The offense needs to click. Hopefully, that ninth inning against Toronto sparks them. Francisco Alvarez's home run, Pete's clutch sack fly, obviously right. Lindor's home run, and their bats can wake up this weekend against Philadelphia. But I really think it's going to take 10 out of 16 games, and that should be enough to kind of edge out Atlanta-San Diego. At least one of those 3 teams to get one of these wild card spots.
Yeah, you want to win some of these Philly games, but really just worry about winning 4 against them in the division or NLCS. That's all that matters.
That's down the road. That's a different story, by the way.
That's what you worry about when you talk about the Phillies. You're not winning the division.
By the way, before we get back to your calls, if the prices for a regular season Mets-Phillies game are that high, could you imagine what the prices would be for a Mets-Phillies? They've never played in the playoffs. It's never happened in the history of Mets-Phillies. Could you imagine a DS or CS between the Mets and the Phillies and what those prices would look like?
Yeah, that's $250. Easy.
More than that?
I mean, maybe.
Oh, easily more than that.
No assembly room in Citizens Bank?
No. I'd sit at the top of the stadium at that point, and I bet you that's going to cost like $300. Phillies are a very, very hot ticket, and I think it's because they've earned their trust from the fans.
Or you could just wait and watch the 3 at home.
Excuse me?
Just watch the 3 at home.
Why not all of them?
I'm just saying.
Why just 3?
They've earned their trust, and it's also the Phillies are, we don't like them, but they are a likable team in Philadelphia where Embiid and those bozos aren't as likable. So they like this team.
Even
that dopey song they play. They've rallied around
the fans
team.
The Philly fans can
rally around a team like the Phillies the way they play baseball.
And,
and
what's funny about them is they're a bought team.
Right.
Like, most of their players are just free agent signings. Like, think about the entire roster. Not the entire roster, but a bulk of it.
I think we make a big deal about this in New York, but does every baseball market make a big deal about, we drafted this guy and developed him. That matters. Like, I don't know. I don't know if every team does that same thing.
So you think that's just a New York issue?
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't listen to Philly sports talk radio.
No, I think
I don't
that
listen
is,
to Spike. And
I don't know who that is. I think that in general, what a guy can earn being a member of your team. Like, Francisco Lindor is a Met. Like, no one thinks of him as this high-priced guy anymore. He's the fabric of the franchise. And for every Met fan who's fighting with their friends about Ohtani versus Lindor, let me make this very, very clear. I want Shohei Ohtani to not make an out this weekend, okay? You can give him the MVP. You can give him the award.
Right.
How about in these 4 games against Atlanta, he goes, let's just say, 11 for 14 with 7 home runs.
That would
and
be
you
nice.
Can give him the MVP.
All right.
Would we not all sign for that?
Tough to argue that one.
Thank you.
By the way, Bryce Harper, too, Teague, to the other thing, he's such a phony. He's a pander. He panders to the Philadelphian fans. At least
I've said that all the time.
At least the guys on my basketball team, they stick to their roots, even though it's a hostile environment. They're Philly fans. They say to be Philly fans. Bryce Harper's a phony, and he just panders to them. And he's out of their hands.
Nah, he's a phony.
Because he's not a Philly fan, and he walks around in all the jerseys. It's like, just be true to who you are. He's not. He panders.
Who is he? Like, who do you think
he grew up in Vegas.
He's from
probably
Vegas.
A Cowboys fan. Okay,
there was no baseball team in Vegas. So what are you talking about?
Well, forget
about?
Baseball team. He's saying he panders to the
okay, there's no
Eagles
basketball team
and the
in
Sixers.
Vegas. There's no basketball team in Vegas.
But I'm sure he grew up rooting for the teams.
Wait, there was no football team in Vegas back then. Who did they grow up rooting for?
Not the Eagles
Nobody.
And Sixers.
Nobody.
Not the Eagles and Sixers.
Okay, there was no baseball team in Virginia when I grew up.
Look, here's the reality.
So when I came to New York, I became a Yankee fan.
Here's the reality.
There was no basketball team in Virginia. I guess you could count the
I know who his football team.
Who is that?
This was the quote. When he was a National. When I was a kid, I grew up mesmerized by the blue star and the silver helmet, all the glory and tradition of America's team. I was a Cowboys.
Of course.
Yeah, but no one's surprised by that. Yeah, look, here's the difference Cowboys. Between the face of Philadelphia, Bryce Harper, and the face of New York, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, whether you like it or not, is just true to who he is. Like, he's a kid who pretty much grew up around the city of Philadelphia, and he is a fan of the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. He said that to your face, Tiki,
yes. And
I respect that.
Well, he went to Villanova. What else? He matriculated to a Philly school, so of course he is.
Well, he could be a pandering political hack like Bryce Harper just pretend.
He probably didn't have a real fandom.
He was a Cowboy fan. Sean just said it.
Okay, Cowboys, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about baseball, basketball, everything else.
Well, forget baseball because when you play it, it's kind of like you became you're a giant. Like,
right.
That's obviously going to change.
But how does he manifest in his fandom for the Philadelphia Eagles? Does he?
Yeah, he wears stupid stuff commemorating them. He kisses their ass. A lot of Philly athletes
He wears a Jalen Hurts jersey.
I'm sure he has.
Jalen Hurts is a likable player.
Oh, stop it.
I'm just telling you.
No, I know he's a likable player, but Bryce Harper's a phony.
I have a buddy that works in their front office, or at least used to. He just left. But Jake, I used to call him and say, Jake, you know what? Your quarterback's making you likable. And he's like, I don't want that, but it's true.
That's okay, but that doesn't make someone go from being a Cowboy fan to an Eagle fan. He's a phony.
But it'll make you drive by his jersey. Or maybe he got sick of the Cowboys. Maybe he got tired of Jerry Jones promising whatever he was promising every single year. Maybe he got tired of the drama or the lack of doing anything in the postseason. Maybe he got tired of all
that. I respect what you just did. You just turned this into just bashing the Cowboys, which I'm good with. I'm not even going to argue with you anymore. I'm going to say, you know what, Diggy? Touche, sir, touche. Zach is calling from New Jersey. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Zach?
Hey, Vintiki, Sean, how you guys doing?
All's good.
Good, what's up?
So I'm down here in Florida with a couple buddies. We're big Rico fans. And the one thing we didn't hear, we have yet to hear, is your prediction for the last, when I called a couple days ago, the last 18.
Yes.
But now it's the last 16. We've all been discussing putting our predictions in.
Yes.
I can tell you. You're seeing 10-6 is what we need to get in.
Yes.
I agree. A few weeks back, you said 90, and Sean said, I can't believe you think it's 90, but you were spot on.
Thank you.
What do you think they are going to do in these last 16? Not what they need to do, what they're going to do.
Okay. I want to be perfectly honest with you, and I hope that when we get there in 2 weeks, I'm not going to have this opinion. But if you ask me this question on September 13th, 2024... The one thing I do not have faith in, the one thing I expect to go badly, is not necessarily this weekend, not even next weekend. I expect the Atlanta Braves to inflict pain on me. That's the dead honest truth. And I hope, and this is what I'm really, really hoping for, that if the Mets can continue this, where they've played really good baseball against good teams, and beat the Phillies over the weekend, and beat the Nationals, I am praying to the baseball gods, to George Thomas Seaver and Willie Mays above, that when the Mets play the Braves in 2 weeks, it doesn't even matter. That they can go into that three-game series, Tiki, with the biggest safety net you'll ever see, and we'll laugh. We'll be like, yeah, Mets, Braves, who cares? Let's focus on Yankees, Orioles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't. You know that's not happening. You know that this baseball season has been so tight for the last month and a half or so, with all these teams that are clamoring for positioning to get into the wild card, and nobody has really stood out above anybody else. And this is from basically top to bottom, except for the Phillies in the East. I mean, this feels like, and the Dodgers, it feels like every team is going to come down to the end. Like, every situation is going to come down to the end.
Right.
Why would you want it any different?
Well, I would want it differently for the reasons I just laid out. I don't trust them against the Braves.
Easy. No, you just want it easy.
Well, it's not easy if they win games against the Phillies.
Look, we had this conversation earlier this week. It has to be epic. For them to break the whatever, it has to be epic.
Yeah.
Right? Why not make it epic?
Well, I'd love for it to be epic, but I'm answering the question honestly.
You don't believe that it's going to be epic.
I think
you are not positive, Evan. You're not even close to positive. Tommy.
Well,
the voice of reason, the voice of expectation, the voice of championship is Tommy Lugauer. It's not you, Evan.
Well, I'm not saying I am.
You're doubting. You're hating on your own team.
I'm not hating.
Not believing in them.
Everything
Tommy
you said
believes
is fine.
In them.
But he believes in them. That's fine. He can believe.
He wants it to come down to the last penultimate series.
No, he
wants it to come down
that
to like it
true.
Was in 2022.
You said a lot
of the division.
You said a lot of things.
He wants it to. I have. You don't believe. Okay. I don't believe you don't believe. You're the scorer here.
All right. I'm going to respond to this because you've said a lot of stuff.
Yes, you should believe.
All right, number one.
I don't know why you don't believe.
I told you why.
You watched Francisco Lindor like ruin a no-hitter and get an explosion.
Yeah.
A couple days ago against the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. You saw it. Why do you not believe?
I just told
you've seen it over and over and over and over again.
I think that this team will play well against Philadelphia. I kind of believe in that. I believe they should do a fairly good job against Washington, even though they have struggled against bad teams in the past. But I don't trust them against the Atlanta Braves. I just don't. I've seen too much of it. I can see Marcelo Ozuna and his fat, disgusting face hitting a big home run to break my heart in the seventh inning of a game. And a part of that is the past that's irrelevant. I give you that.
Yeah.
But a part of that is 2022. Like, the same situation, right? Penultimate series of a season.
Mm-hmm.
The rotation is lined up exactly the way you want, and their stars came up bigger than my stars.
No, it was hubris. It was excessive pride by Jacob DeGrom. He's like, I'm so good, I can throw fastballs 95% of the time.
Wow.
Well, guess what? The Atlanta Braves can hit fastballs out of the ballpark 90% of the time.
So what is that? That's a part of my fear.
It was bad game planning.
Okay.
Look, at some point, you got to flip the script. You got to turn your daddy into your stepchild. Right? At some point, you got to make it better. And the Mets have a chance, too. And it's going to happen in the penultimate series. Use that word for the third time in the last 3 minutes.
I like that word.
In the penultimate series against the Atlanta Braves. And you better believe it. I know Tommy believes it. I know that's what he said.
So do you want me to lie? But you want me? I don't know what you.
You know what John Gruden says? I've told you this many times. You've heard this from me, right?
What?
John Gruden in their Super Bowl season. Yeah. Rondé would always say this to me. Gentlemen, today I need some genuine enthusiasm. And if you ain't got it, effing fake it. So fake it, Evan.
I'm not faking it.
Fake it for the sake of the fan.
I'm not
fake it for positive Tommy's bandwagon.
No, he can fake it. His job is to fake it and tell you they're going to go 14-2. And I respect that. I'm not mad at him for it until they lose. Then I will be mad at him for it. I'm asked a question. I'm giving you an honest answer. I can't believe you want me to lie. Do you want me to lie, Tommy?
I don't want you to lie, Evan.
Thank you.
I just
want you to believe.
Correct, Tiki. I just want you to view things differently. You brought up 2022, which has no bearing. How about 2024?
No. It does have bearing. The part of this roster is still Pete Alonso's still there. Francisco Lindor is still there.
No.
How could you
Francisco
say
Francisco Lindor's
bearing?
Having an MVP year?
That's
though.
Fantastic. That's not, and he was having a good year in 2022 too.
Not like this.
And by the way, like, it is worth bringing up. Like, 1999, you're right. Of course. What the hell does 1999...
Yeah, Mark Lemke's not coming out.
I understand that comparison. Chipper Jones is not walking through that door. I love how you bring up Mark Lemke.
You love that name.
Who,
right?
By the way, I don't think was on the 99 team, but that's okay.
It was a funny reference.
No, it's fine. I'm just...
Stop fact-checking.
Jeff Blauser.
Stop fact-checking. This isn't a debate.
It's not fact-checking. It's just... See what.
Fact-check Sean, not just me.
But you can't ignore 2 years ago. That's not fair. That one I will fight back on. It doesn't mean it's the end-all be-all, but a part of my worry is that this core came up small in the biggest spot in the world in Atlanta.
But you're ignoring this season. How about earlier in the year when the Mets were scuffling, they went to Atlanta and won 2 out of 3? How about we talk about this team and what they've done against the Braves?
They did that in 2022
as well. And the Braves
were
healthier.
But Luke, they did that in 2022 as well. Like, but the Mets had a regular season that told you they were going to beat the Braves in Atlanta. There was no indication they were going
to
come up small.
They were slipping a little bit by that series, Evan, to be fair.
They were slipping, but they had
they
just
haven't
won.
Slipped this year at all. They've been
I'm not finished. They were slipping, but they had just come off this huge win against the Marlins where Eduardo Escobar got a game-winning hit. They went into Atlanta actually rebuilding positive momentum.
Okay.
So that's not true.
There are, the core, you are correct, is still here, but there are guys like Winker, guys like Iglesias, guys like Alvarez that have changed a lot about, I know Alvarez was up that year, but it was just like his first cup of coffee in the bigs. There are other guys that are on this team that have lifted this team up. It's not just the core anymore. It's a different roster.
There are major differences, but when I'm asked, and this is what I don't understand, more so about Tiki, like, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. I don't have a lot of faith against Atlanta.
I just want you to be more like Tommy.
I can't.
Believe.
I can't believe. He doesn't even believe.
Why are you saying that?
Are you guys stupid? You two dopes. I'm going to defend Evan for a second. The biggest series of the year versus the Braves, the Mets had a 2-0 series lead, and they collapsed all over themselves for the last two.
They did not collapse.
They ran into really strong starting pitching, which the Braves have, and they still have, and I respect that. They did not collapse in those games. They ran into really good starting pitching.
They took their foot off the throat.
The word doesn't matter. The point is they did win Thursday and Friday. They had the Kodai Senga game, and then they lost on Saturday and Sunday. And I got to be honest with you, Sean, while I appreciate you defending me, wasn't even thinking about that. It's just, in general, when someone asks for a prediction, what I like to do is be honest, number one, not just feign positivity. I close my eyes, and I predict. And I give you some positivity. I think they'll do all right against the Phillies. I think they should do a good job against Washington. I'm very worried about that Atlanta series. But here's the truth. That's in 2 weeks. If they can beat the Phillies and the Braves can continue to trip up, maybe they will go into that series and be up four games. If they're up four games, I'll have some confidence, Deke.
Yeah. Then we'll find out soon. But you got to believe this is going to happen.
But he asked me a question to predict how I think they'll finish the last 16 games. I think right now I would say 9-7. Actually, I don't know. Like 88 seems to jump out at me. And the reason 88 jumps out at me as a Met fan is they won 88 games in 1997. They won 88 games in 1998, a year they collapsed. They won 88 games in 2007, a year they collapsed. For whatever reason, 88 is a very scary number for me, Teak. Mm-hmm. And so, if they finish with 88 wins, that would mean 8-8 over the last 16 games, which I don't think will be enough. I think it'll be close, but I just don't think it'll be enough.
Well, I don't remember the exact math on the Padres, but I felt like 89 games was the right number.
For the Mets.
For the Mets.
Now, remember this, Teak. If the Mets finish tied with San Diego, Mets finish ahead of them.
Yes. That's why.
Yes, and that's a huge edge that the Mets have over San Diego and Arizona. They literally have the tiebreaker over both of them. Anyhow, let's go to Chris in Bohemia. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, talking to you guys. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy listening to you guys. You guys are great.
Appreciate it.
So a little while ago, you guys were talking about the Mets fans going down to Philly and how the ticket prices were outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, oddly enough, and I really wanted to go down with a "You're Dead to Me" T-shirt for Saquon. But I did go to Citizens. I did go to Citizens Bank Ballpark and watch the first game of when the Yankees beat the Phillies, and it was packed. There were a lot of Yankee fans there.
Yankee fans. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to how much Met fans are going to be willing to spend the premium. Now, I think if you're going to go to a game, and maybe it's too late to say this, it's almost 4 o'clock. Tonight would be the game to go to. Because I think that the price is maybe a little bit cheaper than a beautiful Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Even a football Sunday. You would think a football Sunday would be a turnoff. I don't think it is on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. But I hope Met fans go. Trust me, I had a conversation with my wife and my kids. And I was like, hey, guys, it's Saturday. What you doing? What's up? What's up? And we had a nice conversation, but it's not happening. Nice conversation. There's a possibility. I guess it kind of sort of small, like in a small way, is a possibility.
I think you didn't bring it up aggressively enough.
No, here's what it came down to, T.
No, and you just said to be like, honey, I'm going. Is that cool? All right, good.
No, I save that. I can't do that for right now. You know how I could go? And I don't think I have the guts to do this.
How?
If I took both of my sons, Jed and Spence, alone. If I said to my wife, you've worked hard all week, I'm going to give you an off day. And I took both of my boys, I could pull it off. But here's what scares me.
How hard is that for you? That's a solid offer, solid plan, but how hard is that?
It's impossible, bro. First of all, they're two kids. They fight a lot. That's number one. And number two, in Philadelphia?
Right.
Like, I need a friendly home crowd if I'm there with the boys, you know?
Yeah,
God forbid
true.
I need help. A random caller will say, hey, I'll help you out.
Right.
Not by anything crazy, but just by watching my bag while I drag them to the bathroom. You know what I mean?
True.
I'm not doing that in Philadelphia.
Saturday and Sunday are going to be busy, too, because the Eagles play Monday. So there is no, I mean, there's football on Sunday, but it's not Eagles football on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's even more of a motivation for why the Philadelphia sports fan will be there. Let's go to Tom in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hi, guys.
What's up, man?
Lifelong Mets fan for the last 52 years. And first of all, very excited to be talking baseball in September.
I know. What a change, Teak. We didn't do that last year.
Yeah, a year ago. What a difference a year makes.
And I absolutely, the last 3 weeks I've been going through the schedule. I absolutely think they need to go 10-6 to secure a playoff spot. I'm confident against the Phillies. Yes, a little bit worried about the Braves. Also worried about their offense. But here's my last thought. Imagine if they go 10-6 and I win my 90 win bet, which is, I was about to rip up that ticket months ago. So I'm pretty excited overall.
Look at you, a 90 win bet. That's pretty big. The Mets over-under coming into the year, I think, was about 81.5 or 80.5, something of that nature, a number they should hit in the next couple of days, hopefully. So that'd be double the victory. Not only does the Met fan see success, he wins a couple of dollars. I respect that. Kyle's in Eatontown, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
How you doing, fellas?
All's good.
Good. What's up?
Tiggy, I don't know why this guy is so worried about the Braves right now. What about this roster? And again, I know the history. Mm-hmm. I know you've been hurt in the past. But what about this roster right now is worrying you? I feel like the Mets have the momentum.
You want me to tell you the answer to that? Because it's a great question. The Braves have been ravaged by injuries. Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., Austin Riley, blah, blah, blah. Reynaldo Lopez just got hurt. I don't know how the Braves are going to situate their rotation. But if they had a half a brain, the Mets are facing Chris Sale. Chris Sale is likely going to win the National League Cy Young. Should I be afraid of that? I mean, he's pretty damn good. Max Fried, who's had his up-and-down moments, is still one of the more reliable left-handers in Major League Baseball. Max Fried may make a start in that series. Should I be worried? Spencer Schwellenbach looked like freaking Jim Palmer when the Mets saw him not too long ago. Should I be worried? They have a closer in Raisel Iglesias who basically doesn't give up runs. And they've got guys in their lineup like Michael Harris, like Marcell Ozuna, like Matt Olson, who's salvaging his season, that, yeah, I mean, they kind of scare me. And I don't think it's lunacy to say I'm worried about Travis d'Arnaud in a big spot ripping one into the corner. So I think the way some of us have talked about the Atlanta Braves has been flat out disrespectful.
Yeah.
They're banged up. They suck. Well, if they suck so much, how are they only one game behind the Mets, despite the Mets having a miracle season?
Right.
So
no,
let's stop talking about the Braves as if they're the gum on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah, they're banged up, but they have pitching. Then that's really what it comes down to. And when you talk about postseason, even though this is not necessarily a postseason conversation, they have three good starting pitchers, period. And they probably have more. But there's three guys who can win games when you need to win games, period. That's what it comes down to.
No question. What kind of performance will Daniel Jones have on Sunday? We'll try to predict it. We'll also get back to your calls. Mets, Yankees, Giants, Jets, Tua, a very, very busy Friday. 888-808-1019. You want a satisfying meal for just $6? Try the new $6 meal deal from Dunkin'. It's a medium hot or iced coffee and a bacon and egg and cheese sandwich and a side of hash browns for $6. You know, Dunkin' Coffee, it's always made just how you like. The bacon, egg, and cheese is the most toasty and delicious, and crispy golden hash browns are a must. They're in the new $6 meal deal. Take advantage of this offer while it lasts. Excludes espresso and cold brew beverages. Offer valid on bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches. Excludes seasoned bacon. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions and terms apply.
You know that the cold weather is right around the corner. So is your heat.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.